Good morning. I want to greet each one in the name of our precious Lord and Savior. This morning, for my message, someone mentioned in our Sunday school class that, if I remember right, there's 1,050 commands in the New Testament. I wouldn't have guessed it near that high, so I guess sometime I have to sit there and try to go through and count them. This morning, I'm going to look at one primarily, but I'm going to look at a few other commands that we have in the New Testament. I mentioned when I was finishing up my study on 1 Thessalonians that I wanted to bring a message on the Holy Kiss. I don't know what your internal reaction is to that when you hear that. If suddenly you just start wanting to slink down in your bench because it makes you awkward. I don't know where you're at this morning. I'm hoping by the end of the message that this can be a challenge to all of us. I am going to look at each of the times that we find it in Scripture. Turn with me to Romans 16:16. It's one of the places we find it. I have a few questions this morning. The first one I'm going to ask, is this commandment cultural or is it timeless? There's numerous things in the New Testament that people like to say, well, that was just for that culture there. That was just for the New Testament, or that was just for this or that church. Romans 16:16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So this was to the Roman church. And I'm going to talk about it a little bit later, too. What was the culture in Rome? Was it a godly culture? I think we all know the answer to that. It was not a godly culture, the culture that the church existed in there in Rome. And Paul commanded it to the Romans. It's mentioned five times in Scripture, four times by Paul and one time by Peter. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's another place that we find it. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 20. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. So here's another church Paul is writing to, the church at Corinth. He commands them to do it. And so, once again, I would say you could maybe argue, well, all the churches in Paul's time had the same culture, and yet when we look at Scripture, but especially historical writings, a lot of these cities had their, even though they maybe were all under the Roman Empire, they all had their own unique culture and customs. And unfortunately, there's no way to go back and know what was their custom in Corinth versus Rome when it came to greeting someone, a friend, a neighbor, or a stranger. Because today, we can look across the world. If you go to different countries, different areas in the world, they do have some different customs culturally in how you greet people. If you get into Muslim cultures, what we do here at Salem would be not allowed. Just like when I'm at the back of the church after a message and I'm shaking the hands of both brothers and sisters, I don't believe in most Muslim cultures that would be allowed. I would not be allowed to shake women's hands. So we do understand there are cultural differences. Does that give us the right, or does that explain away this commandment for us today? 1 Peter 5:14, let's turn to that. 1 Peter 5:14 says, "Greet ye one another with the kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen." But now let's turn back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, to see who Peter was writing to. And we see it here. "Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." We don't know where, I did not take time to look to see where all those towns are at. But we see that it wasn't just for one, when Peter wrote it either, it wasn't just for one church. It was for churches scattered throughout an area where he was working. One of the articles that I read while I was preparing for this did give the idea, well, you know, we don't kiss when we greet people in public, so it's not culturally appropriate for our churches here in America. And I would disagree with that. I would say much of God's commands in the New Testament aren't culturally appropriate in America, if you know what I mean. They're looked down upon, they're discouraged, they're made fun of by the Western culture around us. Today, even morality that we hold as believers is poo-pooed as something old school and ridiculous. So I think we need to be careful about using the idea of what's culturally appropriate to explain away God's command for the holy kiss and for other commands that we find in the New Testament. So I believe that this was for all the churches of the New Testament, and I don't see any indication in Scripture that would say that it no longer applies to us today. The fact that churches may be struggling with it that are still holding to the head covering is interesting because, like I said, the holy kiss is mentioned 5 times in Scripture. The head covering, to my knowledge, was only listed once, and yet churches may be losing one that's in 5 times and dropping one that's in five times and keeping one that's in one. We should try to the best of our ability, follow all of the commands in the New Testament. Now I have 2 other questions I want to look at for the next part of the message. Is, now that I believe I've laid out that it is for us to do, it is for the church today, what is the holy kiss and what isn't the holy kiss? It's the same question. For starters, I believe it states, well, every time it states it, it calls it holy or signifies that it's something different than a normal kiss. So it's, what isn't it? It's not a romantic or sensual kiss. A greeting kiss that's practiced, I don't know how many of you have ever been in a restaurant somewhere and you've seen people greet each other with a kiss. How many have seen that? So if any of you have traveled to Central America and you eat in a, what to you and I would, the prices would seem like middle class prices, down in Guatemala they're high class restaurants. So you go there and you're rubbing shoulders with the elite in Guatemala. And so I'm guessing if we would go dine in 5-star restaurants here in the U.S., we may see more of this. But what you'll see is men and women greeting each other on the cheek, not lips, but on the cheek, as they come and meet each other for a meal. And it's very important, and it would be very rude to the other person if you refused it, if you like, oh, no, I can't do that. So it's very important, and I think if you would, yeah, find that in high society in many places in the world. I found in my study that there's also places in the Middle East where it's common among all the people in the country, no matter what your financial or class, where you find yourself. So it's still practiced, but you can get into churches even here in the U.S. And if you grew up in a church, I'm not condemning you this morning, or I'm not condemning even the churches you came from. If you came from a church that practiced the holy kiss on the lips, but I'm just going to say for myself, I don't find that holy. I find that very awkward. If you try to give me a holy kiss on the lips, it's going to be a very awkward interaction. So I don't believe that the holy kiss is meant to be on the lips. That's my feeling on it. I'm not going to say that churches who practice on the lips are sin, are in sin or anything like that. But I do, for me, the fact that Scripture over and over says it's holy, to me says there's something different than what we would see in a romantic kiss. Terrell tells the story. I want to give him credit because he's told the story different times to me, and I found it quite interesting when this whole idea that what happens if you're greeting someone with a holy kiss who does practice on the lips, and this minister said, I can duck pretty fast. And I would say the same for me. So what is a holy kiss? I believe that it's on the cheek or on the side of the face. It's not lip to lip. And it's not, I don't believe, meant to be a lingering kiss. It's meant to be just quick to show. What is it to show? I'll get that into that later in the message, but I believe it's to show our respect and love for our fellow brothers and sisters in the church. But I want to be very clear in case someone here would be confused. It's definitely never, I don't believe, ever to be practiced man with a woman, a brother with a sister in the church. It should always be of the same gender. Holding and keeping with the idea of it being holy, to show our love brother to brother and sister to sister. Some people bring up the idea, well, because of the homosexuality in our current culture, maybe we shouldn't practice it. And once again, I'll bring up Rome. Paul was teaching the Roman church to do it, or encouraging them to do it. Homosexuality, to my understanding, was a problem in Rome. And yet he never says, well, if there's homosexuality in your culture, then you can skip by this command. He never does that. Because I believe that even in a culture where homosexuality is very open, as we are living in today, a holy kiss that's practiced in a proper way, they know the difference. The world knows the difference. They're not going to be confused. And the last thing I want to say on that, on this section, is if you want your brothers and sisters in the church to practice the holy kiss with you, I do encourage you to practice good personal hygiene. Growing up, or spending time in Guatemala, there were times where I practiced the holy kiss with some people that were very poor, and personal hygiene wasn't possible to the level that I was used to. And I will say that even though it maybe took a little getting used to, I never got sick from that. It didn't gross me out because of my love for that brother, because I cared about him and wanted to show him that love, I could do it in spite of that. But for you personally, don't make it hard for your brother or sister to practice the holy kiss with you because of those things. Just something to keep in mind. Next question I wanted to look at is, why did God command it? Why is it listed 5 times in the New Testament? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I want to begin at verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss, and all the saints salute you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Here we see some commands that Paul states before stating that they should practice the holy kiss. He says to be perfect, to be of good comfort, to be of one mind, to live in peace. And so I think one of the things that the holy kiss is supposed to signify is our unity and our love for each other. And if we lack those things, it will be difficult to practice the holy kiss in a church. If a church lacks that, I believe this command will be very easily dropped, along with feet washing, for a lot of the same reasons. Because it does take something in us to hate our brother, have extreme disunity where we can't find any common ground, and then to do the holy kiss or to do feet washing with them is much, much more difficult. I believe it's hypocritical and meaningless to keep the feet washing and the holy kiss if we're not loving our brother. And so to go along with that, I wanted to think about what kind of love am I talking about? Once again, just as the kiss is not a romantic kiss, the love I'm talking about is not a romantic love. And that's what sets the kiss, the holy kiss, apart from other kissing is the fact that it shows an agape love. And I had a message a few years ago talking about the different kinds of love, but agape love is the love that is associated with God's love for us, our love for God, and then also our love for brothers and sisters in the church. The kind of love that's between family members, husband and husband and wife, especially family members, the love you have for your siblings, your parents, your children, that love is a phileo love. It comes from more emotion and feelings and things that commonality of things that we've gone through. Agape love is a love that is more of a love that is from what the definition says, is a love of choosing to love. If we've only relied upon our emotions and our feelings to love our brothers and sisters in the church, many times that would fail us. And so we're called to love them with an agape love, similar to how God loved us. God loved us in spite of all the reasons he could have said, just like he wanted to do with the children of Israel time and time again, I just want to kill them and start over. He told that to Moses. We're no better than the children of Israel. And so the same thing. And yet God loved us in spite of all that. And that's agape love. And that's the same love we're supposed to have to God. We love him not because of the feelings we may have for him. Yes, that's not a bad thing to have a love for God because of what all he did for us. But we're supposed to love him because he loved us, because of what he did for us, because of who he is. Same thing. Maybe there has been some hard feelings with a brother or sister in the church. But we're supposed to lay that down and love them in spite of that, that agape love. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. It's one of the scriptures that, if you go back to the original Greek, according to Strong's, whenever you see the word love here in 1 John chapter 4 would be the word agape. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we know and believe that the love that God hath to us, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth not is made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And if you go through the Greek, the word here for love would be agape, love. And so as we think of the holy kiss and why we're commanded to do it, I believe is to show that agape love that we have for one another. Another common chapter we all know, but I thought it'd be good to read again this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We know is the love chapter. Once again, I made sure I went to Strong's to see what, when it uses this word charity here, what word is in the Greek, and it's the same word agape. So as I read it this morning, I'm going to try to remember in each place to exchange charity with agape love. So we understand it's not phileo love, it's not love that comes from emotions and feelings, but it's a love that we choose to love our brother, our sister. We choose to love God. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not agape love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not agape love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not agape love, it profiteth me nothing. Agape love suffereth long and is kind. Agape love envieth not, agape love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Agape love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, agape love, these three, but the greatest of these is agape love. And when I thought about it in that way, to me this passage took on a stronger meaning because of the idea of thinking of charity and love as the same, but in our English language we mix a lot of things into that. But understanding that what they're focusing on is this love that only comes from God, knowing him, and then in knowing how to love others with that same love is amazing, amazing thing to me. Last passage I want to look at is the other place that we find the holy kiss in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Another important thing to remember as we practice the holy kiss, so we need to pray for one another. Paul, every time he talks about the holy kiss, he's also emphasizing those other commands that are important to remember to do for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. So one of the things I mentioned, the holy kiss, what is it? And one of those things is, who are we to practice it with? And you'll find some differences in churches. So I went to school at the Old Brethren Church. To my knowledge, they normally only practice it with other people of very like faith. And what I mean by that hold a lot of the same beliefs as they do. I know there's some people here that grew up at Old Brethren. You can probably maybe correct me a little bit in that. But what I observed in attending Old Brethren, I never, even after I became a member here at Salem, never was greeted with a holy kiss by someone from the Old Brethren Church. Other groups I come across with will greet everybody that's, they can tell, have a very similar, I'll say, hold most of, like when they look at Scripture, follow most of the Scripture. They don't have a problem if you are whatever. Doesn't matter if you're Mennonite or whatever, as long as you, they'll practice it with you. But I believe we should focus on practicing it, especially within the church. Does this mean you should practice it when you meet at Walmart, Menards? That's one of the things I observed the Old Brethren will do. I personally, I'm not sure about that, and I'm not going to fault those who do, but I do want to say this morning, I feel like I have not practiced it as much as I should have. So I am going to do my best. I want you to hold me accountable. I'm going to try to practice it more in the coming months. But I still don't plan to greet you in Walmart or Menards with the holy kiss. But I do think it's important within the church. It shouldn't just be at times of communion. Is that the only time we show our brothers or sisters love? I don't think it should be. And so I think it's something we should practice more. This morning, I would like to ask a couple of serious questions. I want you to be honest, but I'm going to ask the guy, my brother Gerald, running the video, could you cut the video feed? Could you slide to the other view so that people watching online? Because I'm going to ask everyone here to bow your heads, to close your eyes, so that you can be honest. Don't worry about what the person that's sitting next to you says or would say if they saw you raising your hand. But I would like to hear your honest answer of where you're at on this and encourage you to keep growing if this is something that you struggle in. So is the video feed cut, Gerald? Thank you. So I ask you all to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. I'd like to see a raise of hands for those of you that are 18 and older if you have never practiced the holy kiss this morning. All right, thank you. A little closer time, how many of you not practiced it in the last 12 months? Thank you for your honesty with that. And now, a serious question I want to ask each of you this morning. If you feel that God has placed some conviction on your life and would like God's help in doing better on this, the command to practice the holy kiss, raise your hands if you are committing to grow in this area of the holy kiss. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Father, this morning, I pray that you would just help each one of us. Lord, help us not to place this command above others that are even more important. Lord, we know that the command to love you and to love each other, you said, were the two most important commandments. But help us, Lord, to faithfully follow you and all the things that you have taught us through your word. Help us, Lord, to grow. I think as we grow in some, maybe, Lord, that we've struggled in, that you will honor that, bless that, and help us to be more faithful in other areas. And I just pray, Lord, you would just be with each one that's here this morning. each one, Lord, that made a commitment this morning to strive to practice the holy kiss, and I believe along with that to practice agape love, unity, and peace in the brotherhood. Help us, Lord, to grow in our relationship with you and with each other. And just pray, Lord, that you would receive the honor and glory from each life, each person here this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.